Welcome to the Coworking Values Podcast, Accessibility, Neurodiversity, and Remote Work Edition. I'm Emily Breeder, Scrum Master and Accessibility Advocate, and I facilitate work in challenging circumstances. On this podcast series, we will examine the creative ways we humans overcome challenges to create a sustainable livelihood. Today, we're talking about working with neurodiversity with Rosie Sherry of the Ministry of Testing in the UK. Rosie, it's such a pleasure to have you on the Coworking Values podcast today. Can you tell us a bit about your experience in the coworking and accessibility realm?
Yeah. Where do I start? Coworking. I love coworking. I used to run a space many years ago, so I guess fairly early on. I think it was around 2010-ish.
Yeah, that is early.
Yeah, so for a couple of years I ran a space in Brighton, and I have such great memories from it. I was active in the local community first with some meetups, and just through that getting to know people. I had the enthusiasm to start a space, and I collaborated with a couple of people, and just had so much fun, made so many friends. And it's probably
a good place to meet new people and make connections.
Yeah. And I got to run meetups as well. So I enjoyed very much that side of things. Kind of, obviously, co-working is very community-minded, community-focused. But I also had a specific interest in community generally. So I was very interested in thinking about how do we bring people together with community in mind.
How about neurodiversity? What's your connection there?
Yes, yeah, so I'm a almost 45-year-old female, and I've got 5 children aged between 6 and 20 at the moment. And I think neurodiversity in the past few years, it's kind of become more prominent. But through my kids, as is the case with many women, I discovered like the neurodiversity in my older children. Currently my eldest has a diagnosis. And it was through that whole process of learning about him and learning about neurodiversity and all the things that go with it, and generally feeling like I never fit in. discovering, like, you know, a lot of the kind of autism type stuff is diagnosed in men. And I always kind of question myself as like, well, I'm kind of like that. I actually don't see anything wrong with my son's behavior. I can totally understand why he behaves like that. But then seeing how more recently, I feel at least that for women, it's been becoming more prominent that women are speaking out. Women have generally not been diagnosed. Women hide neurodiversity easily, or society.
Yeah, we
does things just so, you know, there's all sorts of things that come as
absolutely.
A result of that.
It definitely presents different in women.
Yeah. So I got my official diagnosis last year. So I'm autism and ADHD kind of flavor, I guess. And it's been a journey. It's been interesting. At first it was a bit like, what the heck, but now it's like, actually, it's fine, it's all good.
I have had a similar journey. Both of my kids, both adults now, are on the spectrum, and as am I. My husband has ADHD, so We're a very neurodiverse bunch as well. In the co-working space, however, is there a way in your experience as a co-working space owner in the past that co-working spaces could embrace and support neurodiversity among their members better than they're doing currently?
I haven't been involved in the co-working space in a long time. And when I was doing the co-working space back in the days, it wasn't really on my radar. But I think,
sure.
Yeah, definitely like there's certain co-working spaces that are just like too much for me, too overwhelming, too much going on. I don't like too many distractions. I don't mind being around people, but like I want to hyper focus, and the noises, even at home, like there's lots of noises that kind of grind me. But I can control it, right? It's like if there's something that's annoying me, I can just get up and leave and go somewhere else. But in co-working spaces, you know, anything from someone chewing something that really kind of gets to me, to noises that little scratches on plates just like go through my whole body. And as I've become more aware of it, it's just like I can feel the impact on it at home. But if it was like happening to me constantly now, it would just like send me over the edge and exhaust me at the end of the day, because it becomes such a focus for me to
So would you probably prefer a private office then?
Probably. Oh, have the option. Have the option of spaces to go to. Like some co-working spaces, you get all types of people, right? So you could end up with like a salesperson having a sales call like almost right next to you. And that would just like, it would probably annoy a lot of people, but the accumulation of all the things, or the ability to have a conversation for me in public, I just can't do it. I can't even do it at home. Like having a call like this, I have to shut the door. I can't bear anyone else in the room like listening in to anything I'm saying. Any phone call, anything, I just can't. For some reason, it just doesn't sit well with me. So it's all, you know, it's things like that that co-working spaces for me don't work. But I'm also quite happy dropping into a space as well. It's not like, you know, I wouldn't want to put co-working spaces out. It's more like having the option of like, I know I'm going to go into a noisy place for a while, and that's fine. I go into cafes, pubs, restaurants sometimes to work, and I stick my headphones on and get stuff done, or I sit and talk with other people. It's not an issue, but it's like when it's the only option, then that's probably when it becomes a problem.
I see. So do you think it's more about the type of work that you're doing at a particular time that determines when you can use a certain type of space?
Yeah, it definitely has a lot to do with it. Like, you know, I'd struggle to do a call like this, obviously for sound reasons is one of them, but I don't know how people these days deal with podcast recordings in co-working spaces. And I think some have specific areas to do that, but it becomes complicated. And I could see it being hard to manage for co-working spaces as well. But having a place to go, I would love to see, like, you know, if I was to use a co-working space, it would be more as a place to go for a bit, and maybe also meet people, have somewhere in common, somewhere chilled that you can relax and hang out with other people, knowing that you can have conversations sometimes. But yeah, to get that kind of social interaction in real life, I think is super important, and we're probably not really getting enough of that day to day professionally, I would say.
Yeah, especially since the pandemic, we've definitely pulled apart a bit.
Yeah, and it's really comfy at home. It's really nice, but it's, you know, it's like, you know, I do miss going out, but it exhausts me going out as well. So I'm conscious of that. It's like trying to find that balance. Or even because I homeschool my kids, it's like it'd be nice just to bring my kids along and have them sit around reading or playing a game, have that flexibility without feeling stressed out.
Is there any sort of accessibility measure that you usually use in your, I'm not going to call it homework, in your homeschooling, which makes it easier for everyone to work together?
Probably like sound control is the biggest thing. Like we all have different levels of tolerance. One of my son, a couple of my boys don't, it doesn't really impact them that much, but one of them is has always been like hypersensitive to noises. So even like we went to Wagamama's restaurant a couple months back, and I don't know if you know Wagamama's, but I guess a fairly large open plan restaurant, Japanese style, but it can get really loud and like echoey, and he's just going there for an hour was like he was like wanting to really get out of there. And yeah, it's been like for him specifically, just like anything in big groups, he's not interested. And I think a lot of that is, I think I'm the same, to be honest. It's like small group interactions are great, even preferably just like one-to-one, because whenever it gets into like a group discussion, I just find it hard to keep up. And I see that in my kids as well. And I think there's like a audio delay thing with neurodiversity that can happen, and I definitely sense that. Like I feel like I'm always like that half second too late in the conversation to jump in. I think I read it somewhere that's like an autistic thing, but it's so small. It's such a like almost unnoticeable amount of time that you might think it's irrelevant, but actually, if we're having meetings, if we're in groups or anything like that, then it becomes very hard to contribute. So like when I'm thinking of my community work, I'm thinking, well, if I find that tough, if neurodiverse people find that tough, how can we slow things down? How can we just stop for a moment and check in with people to make sure that they're able to contribute in the way that, they feel able to.
Yeah, sometimes it feels like you have a very limited amount of time to jump in before somebody just it completely takes over the conversation and then you can't say anything.
It's true. It's so true. And it's easy to, partly it's like easy to dismiss, but then like the other part of me like looks back at my whole life and thinks, oh, that's why I just never participated in groups. That's why I always just sat there in a group of 5 or 10 people and never said anything. And it's like, when as an older adult woman getting diagnosed, you start to make these connections and you start to have this understanding of why I've been kind of recluse. Or I'm really good online, like at being social, but like face to face, it's definitely a tougher experience for me.
Yeah, absolutely. So, is there a way that you prefer to work? What's your favorite way to engage with your work that makes all of those issues kind of go away as much as possible?
To work for myself, to not do consulting, to work on my own projects, to make my own things, to not be told how to do things, to have my own creative freedom. I definitely struggle to work for other people. I haven't really. Well, I had one stint recently. I thought I'd give it a shot. I lasted 11 months, and it's just like I can't do this. But apart from that, it's mostly been me working for myself, and deciding how things should be.
Right. See, sometimes you just have to make your own job. You have to make your own work to make it work.
I think so. I feel like I'm a much probably in a much better place than if I was working for someone else, just because of the stress of trying to work for how other people want things to work, trying to fit into how other people think work should be, and not fitting into my needs. And stuff like calendars is, you know, literally only the past couple of years I've gotten my head around calendars.
Yeah, the executive functioning is a big piece of it, right?
Yeah, and like, because I work for myself, I literally design my whole life around not needing calendars. It's just like something that I did naturally. But like, as either my business grows or either working for other people, it's like, then you start to realize that, oh, I struggle with these things. I struggle just getting everything to work. And for me, it's like, generally speaking, to help me with knowing what's going on. And I know I have a calendar, but I forget to check it. For me, it makes it easier to have meetings only on certain days, because then I'll think, okay, it's a Tuesday, I probably have meetings. I need to check what those meetings coming up are. And that's just something that works better for me. So, you know, mostly that's how I operate. There's probably a couple of days a week where I have meetings scheduled in, and all the other days I kind of avoid any kind of meetings, just because it's too much for me to get my head around. And also, like with my kids, it gets pretty complicated quickly. It's too much for me.
For sure. Yeah. Well, I want to really thank you for your time today and sharing your unique process and your point of view. I'm Emily Breeder, and you've been listening to Rosie Sherry. You can find our links in the show description. And I also want to thank our sponsor, Nook Pods, for their support of co-working values, of collaboration, openness, sustainability, accessibility, and community, and for their financial support of this podcast. They provide booths that you can work in that kind of provide a little bit of a distraction-free environment, which make it really helpful when you're neurodivergent. Thank you all so much for listening, and I'll talk to you next time.